You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. On today's episode, it's going to be a one-segment, 15-minute recap of the Philadelphia 76ers' 120-96 win over the Pacers. We will have a weekend show. I will put that up to preview the Mavericks and Hornets games this weekend as the Pacers hit their third and fourth game of the homestand. Then Tony and I will be back on Monday with a weekly show on MLK Day. And then we'll bring to you a Tuesday preview of whatever game that is on Tuesday. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but we will have a game for you. We'll have a game preview for you on that day. Let's get right to it, though, on today's podcast. And let's start with the Pacers being absolutely annihilated in the second half of the 76ers to lose 120-96. The Pacers hung around in the first half. You know, it was a six-point halftime lead for the Sixers, but it was a back-and-forth game for most of the first half, it felt like. The Sixers pulled away in that third quarter, went on a nice little run, got the lead up to, I think, 15 or 20. Pacers cut it down a little bit to, like, 12 or 10 at one point, and then, obviously, the Sixers ended up pulling away and winning by 24 points. On the Pacers side of things, only one player really, really played well tonight, and that was Thaddeus Young. 11 of 17, 27 points and 6 rebounds. I mean, he brought his game tonight. He brought his A game tonight, and not a single other player on this team did. Oladipo might have had 15 points, but he was 6 of 20, which is miserable. Evans might have had 13 points, but he had 0 assists and was 6 of 14, which is better, obviously, than Oladipo's shooting, but isn't good. Sabonis, terrible 6 points. Collison, 6 points. Bojan, 9 points. Bojan was getting smothered by Jimmy Butler all night, it felt like. And then on the flip side of things, look on the other team. I mean, every one of the Sixers' big three brought it. And then you got Redick, who also had a really good night. You know, Simmons might have only had 11 points, but it was 11, 8, and 8, which is pretty good for him. And you had 20-point game from Redick, Butler, and Embiid. And Butler was the real difference. He was the difference by not playing in the last game they played. And he was the huge difference in this game simply because he was a pestering defensive guy for Bojan Bogdanović, where he was all over the place, all over him, pushing him, all, you know, getting him in the contested shots, forcing him into, you know, quick pulls with the fear that he's on his tail. Like, he just did not let Bojan get anything good all game. And then on top of that, you had him cutting off pick and rolls to Oladipo at times. And then you had on the other side of the floor where he was a huge offensive plus 27-8, like I said. I believe he was 10 of 17. I mean, he had a fantastic night, and he kind of showed this Pacers team, and I think kind of Pacers fans out there, that it doesn't matter if you're nine deep. The 76ers will have three of the best four players on the court against most teams, and that's kind of where I want to go with this. So you look at the Sixers roster, and they'd played all five of their starters 32 to 35 minutes, and all five of their starters are solid players. Now you go on the bench, and it's not the end of the world. I mean, you got Muscala, and you got TJ McConnell, and then you got Shamet, and then you got Bolden. I forget if it's Shamet, so how you pronounce that. I butchered that, I'm sorry. And so it's a bench that is fine for the regular season, but they probably will not play it that much in the playoffs. They're probably going to ride a lot of their starting five, would be my guess. They're really, really going to push their starting five to probably play 40 minutes, and then I think you got McConnell some minutes. You know, he'll be kind of the spell for the guards. But the Pacers, on the other hand, kind of have this really good player on Oladipo, but then you get to, like, Turner at 2, Thaddeus Young at 3, Sabonis at 4, Darren Collison, or Bojan at 5, Darren Collison at 6, Joseph at 7, and McDermott at 8, and Evans at 9. And the 2 through 9 for the Pacers is going to be behind the 1 through 3 of the Sixers, and that might be enough to kind of, that gap might be big enough in favor of the Sixers to cause the Pacers to lose in the playoffs. You know, when you look at the East in a whole picture, right, you've got the Sixers, 76ers, who are the one team that has this big three. Everybody else has some combination of something. So you've got the Bucks, who have this fantastic second best player in the league, or best player, depending on where you put Harden after this incredible run. And then to go along with him, you've got Middleton and Bledsoe and kind of probably a 7 or 8 man deep team. You got the Raptors, who are a top two guys in Lowry and Kawhi. Now, Lowry probably is not better than Oladipo and not better than any 76ers players, but he's certainly better than the Pacers number two and Miles Turner probably. You know, not probably. He certainly is, and he's slightly better than him. I wouldn't say it's that big of a gap, but it's still a gap. And then you've got their whole team is, you know, 10, 12 deep. They go all the way down to Valanciunas at like 11. You know, he's like playing weird off-center bench minutes. Doesn't play in certain lines, but can play in certain ones. And then you've got the Boston Celtics, who are Kyrie to the top. And then you got Hayward and Horford, who should be up there. They've had weird years because of injuries and whatnot. Both of them actually have had, you know, Hayward's previous injury and Horford's current or injury had not too long ago. And then they probably are 8 or 9 deep. So the problem with the Pacers right now is that they're deep, but everybody else needs is deep. And the one team that's also not deep is so top-heavy that it might be enough to counter them. And that's where they get in this position where they need that number two. And so the only team that doesn't have that number two star in the East is probably, I mean, you could say the Celtics don't, but it's probably just the Bucks. And I would say Middleton is close. Middleton is probably better than any Pacer player outside of Oladipo. Turner, again, comes close to Middleton, but I think Middleton still got an edge on him. I mean, a pretty, maybe not a huge edge, but still has an edge. And the problem with the Pacers is that 2 through 8 or 9, you know, all the way to Evans, is the perfect supporting cast if they had the top two. So, and that's always the hardest thing in the NBA. It's kind of getting that second superstar. You know, not that it's easy to get the one superstar, but a lot of teams have a really good player. The problem is getting that good complement piece with him and then building the rest of the roster around. And so if the Pacers had that guy to slot in right above Turner and Oladipo, they would be maybe one of the favorites to win the East. But the problem is that, you know, their depth probably isn't quite good enough to beat a team that is top three heavy, you know, like the Sixers. But also is not any deeper than any of the other East teams, which is going to be a problem coming come playoff time. Now, that doesn't mean they can't beat a team like this. You know, I think they match up somewhat well with the Celtics and with the Bucks. I think that has to do with the way Kyrie and Oladipo play each other. Now, I'm disregarding the last Celtics game because it was a third game and 4 nights and a back-to-back, and I just don't want to count it. It doesn't really have any meaning to me in Turner didn't play. I think that the Celtics, they match up decently well. And same with the Bucks. Now, I wouldn't say they're favored in any of those series. I say it's probably 50-50, even maybe slightly 55-45 to the other team because, you know, the Celtics have the better coach and the Bucks have a better coach and the better best player. So, but then you get to the Sixers and the Raptors and they aren't. They are not better than either of those teams. And, you know, I think tonight that was kind of evident that the Sixers can ride that top five and they can beat you. And the Raptors can do a thing where they can use their entire team and beat you because they're all fresh legs. And it's just, it's interesting to figure out where do the Pacers go from here. Now, you don't want to read too much into this one game as like, you know, blow up the Pacers. I'm not saying that because the Pacers are still a good regular season team and have real value, especially if they can win like 55 games and get to the 2 or say the 3 seed. You know, if they stay this 3 seed, that's kind of your advantage. You know, they get the advantage of, okay, we play an easy first round matchup and hope something happens to the 2 seed or, you know, the Sixers will be below them probably at that point. It happens to the Sixers on the way to the East Finals. But the goal is to win the Eastern Conference, which I think that's the goal. They're going to have to make a move somewhere. And I don't know if it's the trade deadline. I don't know if it's in free agency. I don't know if you're going to really make the move. Like I said, it's really hard to get that number two player. And so they have to figure out, you know, if you build a team where like your big three is Turner, Oladipo, and somebody, is that better than what the 76ers have? You know, I you would think in over the span of things, the Bucks will probably get worse in terms of depth because they'll have to pay Middleton. The Celtics will get worse because of depth because they'll have to consolidate for Anthony Davis, so they'll get a big three, let's say, or they'll kind of be kind of where they're at, and the 76ers are going to remain kind of the same, and the Raptors will probably get worse because something will happen there with Kawhi maybe, or they'll have to consolidate to get a third star. So if that's the move, you know, for the Pacers, it's kind of thinking, like, how do I get that number two player? And if the rest of the league is moving toward maybe a big three, and I think it became clear tonight that the Pacers' depth isn't big enough to overcome a big three, then what do you do? And I don't know. I mean, you don't know who's available, who you can get for what, and I wouldn't really advocate trading any of their 2 through 9. Maybe, well, okay, let's put it this way. I wouldn't advocate trading any of their 2 through, like, 7. Their back end I would trade maybe for a piece, but I'm not sure if they traded for a back end piece, like one, like a Jeremy Lin that we put on Monday's podcast or a Harrison Barnes, whether that is enough to sort of push them above the Sixers, above the Celtics, above the Raptors, or above the Bucks in the playoffs. You know, interesting, on the Bill Simmons podcast, Zach Lowe did say that there are concerns in Indiana that this is a regular season good heavy team, which I think is a concern for everybody around here. I think you would be naive to say this isn't a good regular season team, but not a good playoff team. I mean, it should be obvious that when you're able to beat all the bad teams, but then when your best player, Oladipo, challenges you to play your best and to beat the best in the East, you guys don't. There's definitely, this team isn't good enough, and I wonder if this becomes an indication for Pritchard to make a move. He kind of looks back at this last little run where they've won God knows how many games, but they've lost three big games to Boston, Toronto, and Philly, the three teams that are in their way at winning the East, and I wonder if this is used as in his decision-making process in the future. But, you know, you've got to figure that out, and the Pacers have the flexibility with all these expirings and stuff to take on a bad contract with a good player or go after somebody, you know. I mean, the forever trade that's been floated, like I said, is basically two guys. Bradley Beal has been the floated one. I don't think they're going to trade him, though. I would really highly doubt the Sixers trade him, or the Wizards trade him. But then there's the Mike Conley idea. Well, if Memphis starts going in the tank mode, do you just trade for Mike Conley? I don't know if he's available with a lot of money. But what I'm kind of afraid is the Pacers are not going to take that risk. And you're going to be stuck with this team, which is a good team. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a 55-win team or 50-55 win team every year. But it's never going to be satisfying. I mean, this team's not even going to be where, like, an injury away from injury away from winning a championship or being in the championship game. You know, that's how some teams play, and that's how you have to do it. Like a lot of teams in the West are saying, okay, fine, we're where we're at. We're not quite the worst of it, but we're a Kevin Durant or Steph Curry injury away from being able to compete for the West. Houston thinks that. Houston might think they can win without him, but Houston, Denver, both probably think that. I mean, go on the list. I would say Oklahoma City thinks that. I think Portland probably thinks that. They're all teams that kind of think if Steph gets hurt in the playoffs, we have a shot at making the NBA Finals. Well, the Pacers aren't even that in the East. They aren't, they aren't a Jimmy Butler injury away from winning the East. They're not even, if Kawhi got hurt, they're probably winning. They're three injuries away from being able to compete for the East. You know, they don't have this clear advantage over every team but one. They have what's probably a fair advantage against two of the teams and probably are worse off against, the Sixers and the Raptors. And they have to figure out how to get that clear advantage over most of the teams but one. You know, you look back in 2013-14, the Pacers sort of were under that kind of same assumption where they're like, we've got nine really good players. The best team in the East is the Heat. They have a top three but not very good bench. We're going to hope that we have the second, third, fourth best player on the court. You know, and they frankly probably did. Probably on the fourth, probably Bosch at four, but we're thinking if Wade is going to be really bad like he has been in the last few years where he's been on this downward spiral, we're going to be like, that and then maybe a LeBron tweak injury or whatever away from winning the East. And they were. I mean, they came the closest any team really came besides the Warriors in the LeBron era. Warriors and, I guess you say, Spurs. Well, at least in the East. They came closest than any team in the East. Not the whole league, but the East to beating LeBron. You know, Boston came close last year, obviously, but they were just as close as Boston a couple years ago, or 12, 13. And they were the one team that really felt like they challenged the Heat to play their best and to beat them. And LeBron did. He definitely did. I mean, but we don't feel like we're even there yet right now. I don't feel like the Pacers are even at that level yet. They're probably even a notch below that. And I don't know what the team does, but something probably needs to be done. And if I'm the Pacers, I'm aggressive because I don't think their cap space has the value that fans think. The Pacers are probably not going to attract any free agent destination superstar, but they can use the cap space to go after and get one and keep, have one for a few years. Mike Conley's overpaid, but you pay what's called an Indiana tax. You pay a guy who would only make, let's say, 20, but you pay him 25 because it's Indiana tax, because he's playing in Indiana. I personally love Indiana. It's the city. I'm going to live there. I'm going to move back someday, all this stuff. But a lot of NBA players don't want to play in Indianapolis, and that's kind of the tax the team has to pay to get stars. They paid that tax on Monte Ellis, and it failed. They paid kind of that tax on McDermott, to be honest. McDermott probably is worth 4 to 5, but they paid $7 million to get him right away into Indiana. I mean, that's kind of what they do, and it's okay. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's not the end of the world. But you have to pay that Indiana tax, and so, maybe taking off $30 million to Mike Conley is not the greatest thing, but he's a good player. He's better than probably any other 2 through 9 if he's healthy. Now, that's a big if. That's the problem. But you're taking a risk, because you take a risk to have a shot at winning. But the problem is with the Pacers is that they're up against, what is their clock? Is their clock to be just competitive for 10 more years? Because then they don't do anything. Why, if you're going to, you want to re-sign Oladipo in 2 years, and you know he's going to resign as long as you don't like completely screw up the roster. The roster is he's going to sign, and you have him for five more, and you can ride this team to the playoffs. But if your clock is Oladipo is going to leave in 2 years, and this is what superstars have done in the league. They've said, build me a team where I'm out as leverage. You know, Paul George basically said, build a good team around me or I'm out. And if Oladipo was to say that, the Pacers might get more aggressive. That's what the Pelicans have done. They've got super aggressive to go after guys. They went after Boogie to kind of try to get that star next to Davis. And maybe that's what the Pacers need to do. They need to go after, they need to take a risk, you know, to try to, you know, get this team at, you know, because there's probably this window of about one or two more years where they could really win the East. And it might be where the Warriors also kind of fall off because there's unexpected drop. And they could have a real shot at competing for a title. But they need another player to go with the guys they have to really have that shot. And I'm not going to advocate for, you know, trading any of the top five, let's say, you know, from probably, you know, I would take Darren Collison out of the starting five in terms of top five and throw in Spoelstra there. But the rest of the guys there are probably worth trading. You know, anybody that's not those five are worth trading. And Thad might be on the list because he's expiring. He makes a lot of money and it could be useful in a trade for a future asset. Let me know what you guys think. I'm interested to know if you guys think Pacers should make a trade or not. As always, you can tweet at the podcast at Locked On Pacers. Tweet at me at FriedmanAdam5. All free agency questions are to be sent to at TEASTMBA. That is TEASTMBA on Twitter. He'll answer all your free agency questions. So send him everything you got on free agency and stuff like that. As all I've got for his Locked On Pacers podcast, like I said, I'll be back on Saturday with a preview of the weekend's games. So look forward to that. And Tony and I will see you guys on Monday.